It is good to see everybody here. It's a good crowd here. This is 4th of July weekend. I hope you had a nice day yesterday. And we had some time with our daughter and the youngest grandbaby and her brother. I got to keep that, you know, he's getting a little jealous, obviously, now, but we're trying to keep it balanced. So, but we're glad to see everybody here and you folks on Zoom. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless all that we do today. Father, we're so thankful that you can bring us together. And God, as we regather here and as folks are home or else places, Lord, watching by Zoom, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this service is a blessing to them. And God, we look forward to the advancing months as we begin to regather more in the fall season as we get back, hopefully, to some normality. But God, we just thank you so much for all the avenues to be able to share the word and to encourage people. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Seat here in the auditorium, and you that are home, you probably have your feet up on the table. You got a bowl of cereal, some eggs or something. So just, you know, you take it easy there. It is the 4th of July weekend. We have a lot of folks that are away for the weekend. What's kind of nice about the whole Zoom, you know, this experience here, is the fact that we have folks that are at their lake house or beach house, and they're watching the service live. So it's kind of nice that even when you go on a vacation that you can actually partake of the services live. And so that's kind of great. So next week, we've been doing these YouTube videos. Next week, we begin to bring the praise team back and live worship. Our band's been rehearsing. And I'm looking forward to going forward with people actually on the stage singing each week. And I think it's going to be a blessing as we go forward. We have live worship with the band next week. And then also, I believe, on the 26th. And then, of course, we use the background music and stuff. But looking forward to that. We've had some good rehearsals. And it was kind of nice to see that we didn't skip a beat. We got back in our instruments. And we surprised ourselves how well we knew some of the songs we've been doing. So that starts next week. I invite you to come be here in the auditorium to experience live worship, but obviously if you can't. And once again, we're hoping that over time we begin to see the regathering more and more. You know, the church never closed. In fact, we have actually seen a lot of advancement made in the last few months through Zoom and stuff. We've connected with more people. Some new families have come in and through Zoom. And to me, I think it's been a good experience, except for the pandemic, obviously. But I'm looking forward to getting everybody back together. And hopefully by fall, we'll be able to see more things happening, such as children's ministry and stuff like that. We'll keep you posted on that. We won't rush it, but we do want to eventually make sure we're ministering, because I know the kids are looking forward to seeing each other here at church and being together. So I'm going to talk today, and I kind of titled this one Wise Up, and simply want to talk about wisdom. And, you know, every one of us want to make right decisions and right choices in life. And there's always a part of us that is learning. Our intelligence is growing. Our cognitive ability is growing. But you can have all the book knowledge in the world, and you can have all the understanding and all the teaching stuff and not really be a wise person. We're going to talk about what the difference is. And I'm going to give you some questions to ask when you're making decisions and the kind of things that I've learned to do. But the Bible is full of, in fact, when you read the Bible, especially Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and James and in the Gospels and in the epistles, you see a lot of discussion about wisdom. And wisdom in the Bible is always connected to God. And I want to make sure you understand this. There are people out there that are smart. There are people out there that have good discernment, whether they follow God or not. But when you look at the idea of wisdom, wisdom is always related to that which comes from God. In fact, the word itself, to be wise and to understand and to make good choices, comes from God. And so somebody may say, can I be a wise person and not be a God follower, be a Christian, whatever? And the answer is, of course, you can have a very discerning. But there's a difference between the wisdom of the world, which is out there, and the wisdom of God. And here's kind of the difference as I get into this, is the wisdom of God is foolproof. Now, the wisdom that we have in our lives normally and stuff is not always foolproof. A lot of us made dumb mistakes, we made dumb choices, we knew better. But the wisdom of God is foolproof, because God's wisdom is perfect in all ways. And that's why we're told throughout the scriptures, you know, in Proverbs talks about lean not on your own understanding, but lean on God. James says in the epistles there, he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask from God. because all true wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and we are spiritual beings, comes from God. So if it sounds kind of narrow-minded that if you really want to be a wise person and make wise choices and make wise decisions, you ought to be seeking what God wants for your life, because true wisdom, ultimate wisdom, comes from God. The Bible is full of verses. When I was putting this together, I started, you know, Googling, and I have an app for Bible, and I put in a keyword, wise or wisdom, and it was just hundreds of times that in the translation of the Bible that the word wisdom or wise is used. So it tells me there's an emphasis that God wants to really seek his wisdom. And let me give you a few scriptures as we begin. First of all, out of the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is considered the book of wisdom, if you don't know that already. It says in Proverbs 9:9, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Proverbs 10:14 says this, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of fools invites ruins. And Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. And I chose those two verses because they really give us a three-tier idea of what wise people do. The exercises, the practices, the lifestyles of those that are wise. And I kind of listed it down this way, three things that wise people do. First of all, is they listen to learn. And I said this last week and the week before, I talked about this whole thing of listening, active listening. A lot of folks are listening sometime to prepare themselves for rebuttal. When you're in a conversation with somebody or somebody's trying to give you advice or somebody's trying to give you input, you're in a place to where you're listening, preparing for the rebuttal of the information. The other kind of listening there is listening for facts only. You know, when we go to school and we're going to college or whatever your schooling may be, you're listening to prepare yourselves for a test. So you're listening for the facts and the details so that you're able to pass a test and able to successfully go through a course or whatever you're going to go through. But when this passage is written, it says that we need to learn to listen. That first verse says this, instruct the wise and they will become wiser still, which means that those who are wise take instructions and they increase their wisdom. They listen so that they make wise choices. They're observant of things that are around them. They're learners all the time. You know, we can learn how to be wise not only by listening, but by observing too. We can learn by observing what others have gone through and what they've done so that we make the right choices and not the wrong choices. The next one is simply this. They evaluate decisions by rehearsing stored knowledge. Let's face it. Our failures in our lives are some of the best teachers we have. Our mistakes are there to be able to help us not to make those same mistakes. Unfortunately, some folks don't always listen to that. Wise people, when they're making decisions, they will evaluate the decision by rehearsing stored knowledge. And the older you get, the more stored knowledge you have. You know, we want our kids to learn this. You know, they learn by mistakes. In fact, it's good sometimes when kids make mistakes, instead of just correcting them, walk them through the process of that. What did you learn from this mistake? Because if we don't learn from mistakes, we're going to often repeat those mistakes. So wise people evaluate decisions by rehearsing the stored knowledge. And the last one here I wanted to kind of open up with is this, is that they associate with wise people. Now, this is a difficult one because, you know, not everybody that we have as friendship and family are considered wise. So I'm not telling everybody to go and dismiss your friends and say, you're not really that smart, you're not that wise, I'm not going to hang with you no more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that when you're seeking out a decision to be made, make sure you're choosing the people that have made right choices before. If you're going to seek wisdom from somebody on finances, for instance, if you're going to make some financial decisions and you want to seek out some understanding, you need to talk to people who have handled their finances correctly. You don't want to ask somebody who basically is over debted with credit cards and has not made wise choices, because you're going to have to get information that basically you want to make the right decision about. And so you need to associate, or you need to glean from those people that make wise decisions. So basically, it comes down to wise people are people that listen to learn. Wise people use their stored memory to make good decisions as they go forward. It's always a growing understanding of wisdom, and they also associate with wise people. Well, the Old Testament is full of the talk of wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs is full of it in Ecclesiastes, and they are. Now, in the New Testament, there are some books that cover wisdom quite often, very strongly. That's the book of James. But in the epistles, the Apostle Paul, who is a, you know, he was a tormentor of the church. If you don't know his story, he didn't start off being a great apostle, the great follower of Christ. He started his life as being someone who was in charge of the task to stop this whole movement of Christianity. He basically had the authority from the government to imprison anybody who was following Jesus Christ. He was even there when some were stoned to death for following Jesus Christ. And God had a miracle working with him when he was traveling to the road going to Damascus. And God had an encounter with him that changed his whole way of thinking, his whole life in a profound way. And he became one of the premier authors of the New Testament, writing, you know, the Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, all those books there, Philippians. He is a key component of the book of Acts. He's a key component of the book of Romans. And so when he writes things, he has a lot of understanding. And he would write to different churches, giving them information that they need to deal with the situations they're going through. He wrote to Galatians, the church of Galatia. He wrote to the church of Colossae, and he would give them information and advice to live their life. In the passage we're going to read, he's writing to the church of Ephesus. Now, the church of Ephesus was a very rich church, was a very wealthy church, was a church that was known for love, was known for having their act together. And there's a lot of good things that he says to them. But in the situation about wisdom, he deals with an issue about making decisions and being wise. And this is what he says. I'm going to go through this slowly here. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, he says, "Be careful then how you live, not as wise, not as unwise, but wise." He wants to focus in on how they lived their life. He wanted to make sure they were making decisions that were good for their families, for their lives, for what they were doing. And he simply says this: be careful how you live. Watch how you perform your life. Make sure you are proactive as you begin to go through your life. Don't just go through life with happy chances, you know, hoping things work out. Be careful, be proactive, be precision about your life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, in those days, that church in Ephesus was dealing with a lot of outside forces against them. There was religions in that world at that time. There was the goddess of Diana. There was religions at that time. And those religions had a lot of heathenistic type of rituals and stuff. And so they were always persecuting the church at Ephesus. And part of the thing that they were with the church of Ephesus was they were reacting to the negativity that was going on. And they were getting harsh with some people. And they were battling some things. And it was dividing them a little bit in their lives and stuff. So he says, listen, because I want you to don't worry about what the outside world is doing. Don't concern yourself with everybody else. So live your life the best way you can, not as unwise, but wise. And he says, you ought to make the most of all the time you have while you're living. But then he throws in here, because the days are evil. Now, when he says the days are evil, he's talking about the fact that the struggle against his church was a tremendous amount of forces outside trying to stop this church. And Paul was one of the people that actually was a catalyst to begin all of this. He says, while these forces are outside of you trying to stop you, while all the evil forces are basically mocking you and chastising you, and there were some folks out there that because they joined the Christian church of Ephesus, the places they work fired them because they would not have somebody that was following Christ working for them. That was the kind of evilness that was going on. And so he says, all this struggle, all this persecution, he says, listen, you need to live your life accordingly. Worry about yourself. Be wise, not unwise. He says you need to make the best of every opportunity you possibly can take. And he says in doing that, you need to do it because you're in tremendous tempting times. Well, I think about this, the advice for us, that we need to live our lives for today. We need to live our lives proactively. We need not to worry about the outside influences, the negative talk and all those things out there, and there's a lot of that. We need to be wise, not unwise. We may need to make the most of every opportunity we have because the stresses and the anxieties and the evilness and just the world around us can be suffocating. We need to focus on what we're doing. Then it closes out the passage there. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that's where wisdom comes from. What I said at the beginning is that there are smart people, there are people that have worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom is, in my mind, perfect, because if we follow God's teachings and stuff, that we usually will not make the mistakes that we probably would have made. And when Paul says here that, listen, you need to be wise, not unwise, you don't need to be foolish, he says you need to know what the will of the Lord is, which means wise people follow the directions of the Lord. And that's where we get our strength, from Scripture. In fact, I've told you before that whatever decision you have to make, there is a biblical principle or a scripture to help you make that decision. Whether you're raising family and raising children, the Bible talks a lot about parenting and raising children and nurturing children. If you deal with emotions that make you struggle, if you deal with anger issues, it talks about anger. If you deal with financial issues, it talks about how to handle money. If you deal with relationship issues, it talks about how to have a relationship. If you have difficulty making friends, it tells you what a true friend is. Every situation in life that you're going to encounter, there is a biblical principle, or there is a passage of scripture, there is a story that's going to tell us how to live that. You know, I wish more people would have that biblical mind, so when they make decisions. And so, to me, when you're making decisions in your life, there's always that one major question you should ask. And the question is this: what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Not what is the smart thing to do. Not what is the thing that is going to be more self-serving to me. What you don't ask, what is in my best interest? Because sometimes when you ask the questions, what is my best interest, you know, what is self-serving to me, you know, what will get me further advanced, when you ask those questions, then you're not always asking the right question. God, what is the wise thing to do? Not just the right thing, not just the most expendable thing. What is the wise thing to do? And I've learned through my life that when you ask the question, you usually narrow it down to three different divisions in the scripture or in your life. You usually will find yourself dealing with the fact that all wise decisions are based upon your past, based upon your present, and based upon your future. Because those three components will give you the balance in life to know how to make wise decisions. And I have learned that the best way to make wise decisions is to ask three basic questions here. Let me give them to you this morning. The first one is, in light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? Have you ever seen somebody that went through a difficult situation or blew it, messed up, and then you saw them come back from that only to see them a few years later do the same stinking thing? They didn't exercise this principle. In light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? We had a governor here in the state of Connecticut that had to resign from office because of improprieties in the political world. And I knew him. I was with him just the week before. We had dinner at the residence, the governor's residence, and we was with him the week before he resigned. And I remember that he resigned, and then, of course, went to court, and he went to prison, and then he came out of prison, and all of a sudden, he's on the radio, and he's a talk show host and stuff. And he actually was speaking at churches around the state. I went to one church. Tony and I went to the church in Thomason, I think it was, to listen to the governor speak, the former governor. And it was a tremendous story of a comeback. And I love a comeback story. He spoke about humility. He spoke about grace. He spoke about learning. And he went from, you know, being the governor to the prison to being almost reinstated in society as being someone to be strongly admired. And he began to build his life, and he had a great radio following. And all of a sudden, he got involved with another political situation. And once again, he basically ended up going to jail again. And I thought to myself, and I really believe he's a gifted individual, and I understand he's doing some great things for nonprofits today. My thought when that happened is that, in light of your past experience, what is the wise thing to do? Why do people blow it over and over? And a lot of times the reason why they blow it over and over and mess up is because they do remember what happened before, but they have this illusion that it won't happen the same way again. Or the reason why they repeat it is because they're egotistical or because they're self-serving. And they're asking all the wrong questions. They're asking questions like, you know, would this benefit me? Do I deserve this? I put up with a lot. I've been through some struggle. I deserve this. But the question they should ask when it comes to making wise choices, in light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? That covers the past. The next one is about the present. The question is this: in light of my present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? Present circumstances sometimes dictate a lot of mistakes. And sometimes our present circumstances can get us into trouble. Because we think of our present circumstances, we think to ourselves, okay, I deserve this right now. I worked hard for this right now. I deserve that or this. And all of a sudden, we're making, once again, decisions based upon a wrong presumption. And if we're going by the idea of wisdom comes from God, we ought to say, based upon my present circumstances, what is the wise? What would God want me to do? Sometimes our present circumstances can be where somebody is treating us wrong, an injustice. We want to retaliate or we want to rebuttal. And of course, social media today is giving us the greatest forum in the world to be nasty people. And my present circumstances, that person has hurt my feeling, that person has attacked me, so I'm going to go at them. And you think to yourself, is this the smart thing to do? It's not the smart thing to do, but it's what I feel. Everybody says that. I have a right to feel, and I feel this, so I'm going to say this. But you need to ask this question. In light of your present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? The emphasis is not upon the circumstance, but it's on the fact, what is the wise thing to do? Now, if you're dealing with somebody who's confronting you and somebody that's giving you a hard time and stuff, the Bible is full of principles that talk about how to deal with people that are hostile. Remember the old phrase, turn the other cheek? Remember forgive 70 times 7? See, to me, once again, if you look to do the wise thing, which is through the biblical mind and through the wisdom of God, you're going to find that your circumstances are here, but your reaction to your circumstances are based upon wise things. And here's the truth of it. Most of our negative circumstances, let's talk about the idea that somebody is hurting our feelings or somebody's attacking us, only escalate because we decide to put fuel to the fire. And I'm here to encourage you this, is that no matter what your circumstances is, live your life, like the one verse said, live your life as wise, not as unwise. You need to make sure you discipline your life, and then in the light of your present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? And then the last one here I want to share is about the future. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? You know, we live in a weird day and age. Like it or not, but we live... on social media for what you email or you know, I remember when Facebook first came out, I mean, I think 2008, I joined Facebook or something like that. And I remember that it was just fun. I got to connect with people I haven't seen in years. I mean, my very first friend on Facebook was Scott Bettinger. He first one that friended me on Facebook. Oh, this is cool. I'm sitting in a parking lot and I'm getting friended by people, you know, and I thought, okay, then we start talking. And it was a tremendous experience and everything, you know, just to reconnect. And then all of a sudden, all these forums. And I guarantee you, you ask one question on a social media site and you're going to get people bombarding you with negativity. And our teenagers today are a tremendous amount of stress in their life because it used to be if you go to school and you got hassled at school, as we all did, you go home, you'd have the weekend, you don't see those kids. But now everybody is following everybody, even call it that, following, liking. I mean, to me, it's gotten to that point. And on this point here, that in light of our future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? And one of the things we try to tell young people, be very careful what you post, because if you post things and they never go away, and you go to have that job interview or that college interview, and all of them, they're going to go through your social media page. I guarantee you, I know people that employ people, and after they interview them, the first thing they do is they go in and search for their profiles to see what's going on. Because they want to, you get the widest understanding of somebody through that method there. So I would tell my teenage grandkids, I would tell them, in light of your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? What are the unwise things to do and post on social media that are going to come back? And that's just an example there. But no matter where you are in life, you want to have a good future. And the future, by the way, you know, is that thing that's always ahead of us. And every stage of life, your future is different. If you are a teenager, your preferred future, your future, your hopes and dreams are based upon graduating from high school, going to college or tech school, or getting a good job, going in the military, serving the country. That's your next level, whatever. And you want to make wise choices to get to that stage. And then when you get to that stage, you start thinking about family and marriage and children. You want to make wise choices so that you are able to have a good family and relationships and those things there. You want to make sure that you're handling your money right so you can have a good future. When you're at somebody at my age, some of us that are older and stuff, you're at a point to where, you know, when it comes to my finances, at my age, knowing that retirement is nearer than you think, what is the wise thing to do? And in light of that, a lot of things that we have done and I have done is to make sure that as I approach that time, is that my expenditures are less and that money set aside for retirement is more. What is the wise thing to do? So when you're trying to make wise choices, you're trying to make decisions in your life, you got to ask those questions. You know, based upon my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? Based upon my present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? But this is a big one. Based upon my hopes and dreams for the future, my future, my preferred future, what is the wise thing to do? And once again, I go back to this. All true wisdom, when you ask the question, the wise thing, which you're actually asking, what is God's wisdom for my life? What is God's will for my life? What is it that God has instructed, taught, laid a principle, a story about that will govern my choices? And when you and I do that, we will live a more serene and pleasant life, more at peace with ourselves and peace with others, because we know that we have an absolute God that has absolute wisdom, that if we just listen and learn and apply, we'll make good decisions. But we all know people in our lives that have made foolish decisions and hurt themselves desperately. But when you and I follow the principles, biblical teaching, biblical principles, stories in the scriptures, we will make wise choices. Let me give you the walk away here. The walk away is simply this. It's out of Proverbs 24:5. I just love this one. The wise prevail through great power. And actually, it could be worded this way. The wise prevail because of his great power. And those who have knowledge muster their strength. But I like that. The wise prevail through divine power. You and I advance, prevail, succeed, not because of our human understanding, not because the smart we get from education, which we need to have. We basically prevail. And that word prevail, I love it. It means we advance, we stand, even when the wind, you know, it comes from a kind of a word. It means that something that stands when the wind is strong. We prevail through his divine great power. If you want to prevail in this world and succeed, and you want to live a life that everything is moving in the right way, make sure you're including what God would have you to do. That old saying goes, what would Jesus do? applies here. Because all of us want to see our friends and family make wise choices and wise decisions and live a happy and content and successful life. So that's the message today. We'll just bow your heads for just a moment. And Tony's going to come in a second and close us out. And I want to encourage next week, let's make sure you register through the app that Sarah will be sending out. We begin with our live worship back starting next week. And so let's really come together and experience church together. And I hope this lesson has been an encouragement to you today. Next week, I plan on talking about church and what we've learned from this experience this last few months. And I want to share an example I shared years ago that Pastor Tony reminded me of the other day on the phone. But I want to share that, what did we actually learn, and has the church really thrived during this time? And I'm going to give you the answer now. I believe the church really did thrive the last few months, different than what people thought. But I think it has been something that God has used to teach us greatly, and I'll share some more about that next week. Father, we ask you to bless today, Lord. I thank you for the folks that are watching by Zoom. I pray, Lord, that they're blessed by this. And God, for the folks that are here, Lord, thank you for having them come and be a part of this. And God, as we regather and we begin to re-energize our ministry again, Lord, we thank you not only for those that have been with us for many years, but those, God, that you've sent our way as friends and become part of our integral part of what we're doing, that helped us learn through this even, Lord. God, we thank you for them. Bless each person here. Watch over those that are traveling for the rest of the holiday weekend. Get them back safely. And God, we do thank you for our great country. As Wednesday night, we had a time of prayer for our country, and it was refreshing to have that time of prayer in our midweek motivation. We do pray for our country and our leaders. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.